is asking a lot of questions, so that's a hint that she's uncomfortable.
Yeah, either asking a lot of questions or being the undisputed authority in the session. I think it's unlikely that that option you'll see, because these are, you're going to be looking at a couple of student therapists who, they're going to be just flailing about in the water, right? And they're not going to be coming from that I know it all kind of perch that you might see a Freud come from. So it's more likely that if someone feels uncomfortable with uncertainty, it's going to be of the variety that Julia was describing, in which they are asking a lot of questions and trying to pin down the patient to give them a specific answer about what they're feeling or thinking or doing. Right?
I guess, to what Steph is saying, I guess I'm worried down the line that since we, like, don't know these, like, little tidbits, that we're not going to be able to score it reliably.
Well, that's why we got this code book going. So maybe you can make a note of this item as well. Item 6.
Item 9.
Because, like, this one, you can relate to outside worlds. Like, when people are uncomfortable, they try to fill the silence and keep talking. And so, I mean, this one is more understandable, but I know that there were other ones where it's kind of like, should I be looking at this through the lens of that I know what a psychodynamic session is supposed to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Her being talked to is a good example of that. I didn't think she was that talkative once we talked about like how much a therapist should or shouldn't speak in a session. And I changed my mind.
Right.
And that's also why we're doing this too, so.
Yeah. We, to a large extent, we can set the ground rules, because this instrument was not originally designed to assess therapists in a therapy session. It's not what it was originally designed for. So we're actually retrofitting this assessment instrument to our own purposes, which is to assess personality traits in the therapist. So because we're retrofitting this, we can kind of make up the rules a little bit and really consensually agree to what these items mean. They don't have to mean exactly what the original creator of the instrument meant by these items, Jack Block. We don't have to do that. We can play with it a little bit, which allows us to establish reliability, hopefully a little bit more easily. So,
the next one is 87. That one is, tends to interpret clear-cut, simple solutions in complicated ways.
Tends to interpret clear-cut, simple solutions in complicated ways. So somebody was, I think, maybe making like convoluted interpretations of what the patient is trying to say, kind of awkward, like what I'm doing right now. Awkward, verbose explanations which don't really help the patient. I think that's what we're kind of, yeah, I think that's what we're saying. So, what do we have here? Julia was 2. So, what you're saying is that this therapist did not do that. She was fairly straightforward and clear-cut in her explanations and interpretations, right? So, Alex was a 6. William was an 8. Mike was a 3, so that's very close to Julia. Amanda was a 3. Stephanie was a 3. Amanda Strano was a 2. Margarita was a 2. Taylor was a 3, and Sibeli was a 2. So let's go back. So I think the consensus is that this therapist did not interpret situations in complicated ways. She was fairly straightforward. But we had William and Alex on the other end of the spectrum. You guys want to take up the cause? Waving the white flag so easily.
Yeah, no particular defense or reason for that. So.
Well, you must have one, because it ended up in 8.
Right.
It could have been just an accident, right?
An accident. A few of us have been having problems finding things to look like. And I guess that one just moved up. Probably I rationalized it as her just kind of pouncing on any little thing, which is probably what she should be doing. So, yeah, I'm not tied to a high rating in that.
I put mine at 6, which was why it's pushed out of pile 5. I had strong feelings about it, but I think I also defined the item a bit differently. Just thinking as a therapist, like if you're ever talking about the unconscious, or if you're someone's presenting a problem, you sort of extrapolate and look at it in a more complicated way. I think that's a lot of what therapy is. I think that sort of colored my pushing it just a little bit up.
And you thought she did that?
Not really, it was a 6. I didn't really see much of it. There just weren't enough. There were too many 5s.
I would hope that's not what therapy is. Making it more complicated.
Huh?
I would hope that's not what therapy is, making it more complicated. I don't know.
Well, I think there's something to be said about helping the patient recognize his or her own complexity, internal complexity. But this is about explaining it or making it more complicated than what the patient originally said.
Right.
I see this as more of a verbosity item.
Also, like, she didn't really make any interpretations in this session at all.
But can we really score it that low then?
I think that she was sort of straightforward in other ways, like with a question asking. Like that's where I gave it, but it's hard when they make no interpretations. It is.
You got it. You put it in a.
No, I agree, but
yeah.
Like,
that's fine. Yeah.
Just a thought.
Okay. We are down to 18. So what is 18? Initiates humor, makes spontaneous, funny remarks. Julian 6, Alex in 2, William in 4, Mike in 3. Now the 6 and 2, there's a 4 difference between you two. That's pretty large. Let's see what others have to say. Amanda in 3, Stephanie in 7, so there's another 4 discrepancy. Amanda Strano in 3, Margarita in 2, Taylor in 7, and Sibeli in 6. So I think we're all over the place with this one.
There's like a lot of, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I'm surprised the standard deviation isn't higher, but seems like there really is no consensus established on this item 18.
Well, it's like the 6-7 gap and the 2-3 1-4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that I'm like all over the place.
I can sort of just how this one worked out for me. This one was a hard one to sort because like it didn't seem like it should go low to me because like they joked together and like I know it's about initiating humorous comments, but there were so many more important low ones for me that this seemed like it had to be in the middle pile to me, and it ended up in 6 for mine, but it probably started out in a 5 in my first go through. But I kind of thought this was a pretty neutral item for this session.
So then who didn't put it in a neutral pile?
I put it in a 2. There isn't an item response to and appreciates humor, which I could have said.
Yeah.
She did, I think, laugh when the girl made a joke, but I didn't see her ever initiate humor.
That's exactly what I thought too.
And I think we also talked about last week how like, we thought she was like bland as a person, so that's why I kind of put it low.
Okay.
When I think of. Like, there's not...
That is part of blandness, right?
That's part of blandness.
Humorless.
But I guess... I didn't think she was humorless. That's the thing. If I wanted to put it low, I would have thought she is humorless. She can't, you know, like, engage in any sort of humor. I didn't feel that about her. She's kind of blah and bland, but I didn't feel like she was on the opposite side of the spectrum. So that's why I ended in a middle pile for me.
Let's hope she doesn't listen to us.
I didn't mean to suggest by putting her in a 2 that she wasn't, that she didn't have a sense of humor. But I can imagine a therapist who does initiate humor, and that would feel very different.
I do. That's not a
what?
Initiate humor. Only when I'm feeling uncomfortable.
I literally cried jokes 3 times per session.
Ran at it.
But it's funny! Alright, like 2 jokes.
So we would rate you high.
Yeah.
Probably, yes. It's tasteful. It's
people,
not like bad.
People who are tasteful usually say it's tasteful.
Is this in CBT sessions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't just always say yes to that question.
Yes. No, I'm not lying to you. Yes.
It sounds like, I mean, based on what I'm hearing and based on my memory of the session, I would rate it more low. Yeah. I kind of agree with what Alex said about it. If there's a separate item, right, that captures appreciating humor, which she did, this item is different. This item captures the initiation of humor, like what Amanda does in her sessions, apparently. And this therapist did not do that.
Okay.
So I would say I would put it more in a 2 or a 3, something like that.
I think I wanted to put it in more of like a 4, and I just had to put it got bumped up higher. But I don't like it in a 7, even though I have it.
Yeah, it feels uncomfortable there.
Yeah,
in
like
7.
It was just, well, this is the better one out of these that I didn't have.
Right.
Is there a note I should make about this one? I mean,
yeah, sure. I think...
I
think we're developing a code book here that people can rely on when they code future sessions.
I think that, like, when you think, to me, when I think about, like, putting something in characteristic versus uncharacteristic, I try to, like, flip the item. And when I, like, flipped 18 in my mind, I said, because that 18 initiates humor. So to me, like, the opposite of therapist initiating humor was the child initiating humor. That's, like, why I put it low. So, like, Alex, I didn't feel like, it's not that she was, like, aversive to humor and didn't like it and, like, shut it down, but it's just that she wasn't the one initiating.
Right.
So maybe that, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right,
so
she would get a higher rating on that other item that,
yeah.
Which I, do you know which, what the number is? What number is it? 56.
So the note that I put
which I
is like code high if therapist actually initiates.
Yes.
That's my note.
And maybe also distinguish from item 56.
Okay.
Yeah, responds to and appreciates humor. Well, she definitely did that. And I don't see 56 in the first 20 items here, so that means that we all saw that pretty similarly.
Yeah.
So let's move on. The fifth worst was item 29. Is turned to or sought out for guidance and reassurance.
For advice and reassurance.
Okay. So that's the item. And we have Julie with a 7, Alex with a 4, William with a 7, Mike with a 4. We have a trend here. So two people so far saw it as characteristic and two others saw it as neutral. Then we have Amanda with a big 8. We have Stephanie with a 7. We have Amanda Strano with an 8. We have Margarita with an 8. We got Taylor with a 3. And Sibeli with an 8. So you got the 3s and the 4s, and then you've got the 7s and the 8s. So either sort of a neutral or definitely is a thing in the session. So who wants to start?
I thought that she wasn't sought out for advice at all. I didn't find out once in the session. I didn't see the patient asking her for any advice. That's why I read it low. So I'm curious where the higher people saw her asking the therapist for advice.
I took it more as like a reassurance, and like the child was like playing. It was more of like a look at me type of thing, and trying to get like that response out of. But that could also be colored by me seeing previous sessions of this child and knowing that this, well, I'm going to leave it at that.
The question is, did she do it in this session?
I felt like she did. Yeah.
Okay. So I think where the discrepancy is, at least between you two, is that, Taylor, you're waiting for the child to verbally say, I want reassurance, or I want some advice about these kids on the playground, or, you know. But I think we can expand this item beyond a verbal request to include behaviors that strongly suggest the need for reassurance from the therapist.
I think another discrepancy is that I kind of waited on advice and you waited on reassurance.
Yeah.
I see the reassurance, but I kind of just focus on the advice part of it. And
it's both.
Yeah, if I were coding advice solely, I would have put it low too.
Okay, so I needed to focus on the reassurance as well. I think that would have changed.
You what?
I added a note.
Okay.
I said, include behaviors that strongly suggest a child wants reassurance from the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how she got up and did the dance.
Yes.
Right. And a few other things.
Yeah, I mean,
reassurance, like, you know, idealizing or like mirroring, like idealizing versus mirroring kind of? I'm not sure where I was going with that.
With the child's idealizing the therapist?
What they were describing didn't seem to kind of capture the play from the cards. So.
I don't think it
was
either.
Yeah, well, I think that that's what I was hearing them describe, and I didn't think that that's what the card was really
I think that she was like seeking reassurance about, you know, like, is she okay? Am I okay? I do all. I'm dancing for you. I want you to like me.
That's a lot of reading into your behavior. It's not like a lot. I mean,
it's some.
It's
definitely some reading.
Like, I totally agree. Like, I was trying to kind of write this not based on those kind of clinical inferences and looking at the dynamics and like, oh, she's kind of looking for attention and needs reassurance more. Not quite as explicit, like, I need help and advice, but sort of on the ground.
It's one of these few items where we're actually looking at the child's behavior, right? We're not really looking at the therapist's behavior, which is an interesting twist. It's different. I think we'll allow some modest clinical inference here, in which case this I'm agreeing with the people who tended to rate it high or higher.
Also, I think like in a play therapy session, you're also just like less likely for the kid to be like, I need help with X problem, you know, and you might need to look for it in more subtler ways.
But not too subtle.
Not too subtle. I just said more subtler. Subtler?
More subtler.
More subtler. What time is it? Okay. We have to stop in 10 minutes because Amanda and I have patients.
Oh. I'm in the waiting room currently. Being okay.
Being wrong.
What's that?
I'm notified.
Her patients
have
not
found out. Because I have been notified. I'm going to be really anxious.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. We're here. We're present.
All right.
Don't reinforce it by going.
We're initiating humor.
See me at 6 o'clock.
maybe she needs more humor.
An assessment in theater. Humor allowed.
There you go. All right. So the next one is 88.
88. Personally charming. Oh,
one of my faves. We can't get away from this item. It's personally charming. We discussed that one last time.
We went number 88.
88.
Item 6.
All right, so we got. Julia 4, Alex 3, William 4, Mike 2. I don't have any problems with that. That is totally fine. Let's see what's on the next page. Oh, we got Amanda Oliva at 8. Stephanie at 6.
No, you're looking at
online. Oh, 6. 6, sorry, yeah. Okay. All right, so Amanda at 6, Stephanie at 7, Amanda Strano at 2, Marguerite at 6, Taylor at 6, and Sibeli at 7. So it seems like the outliers are Amanda Strano and Sibeli.
What do you mean? The people above had 2, 3s, and 4s.
Is that right?
I think I would change. I feel comfortable in my 4.
I did not. Oh yeah, there's a 2. Yeah.
I don't think she's charming. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. So Sibeli.
We talk about this. I think it's about responsible, emotionally responsible, and affective and. I think this therapist is responsible.
Now, last week, we had all agreed, I thought, that she was bland, right? Which is the opposite of charming.
I think I just thought about it the wrong way. Because I thought of it, I don't think she's charming personally, but I was looking at it more of how the child is responding to her, so it seemed like the child liked her, and this is probably the wrong way of looking at it, which is why.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. It's you looking at the therapist. Not you're not. We someone brought this up last week. I think was it you, Mike? Or,
no, I did.
Oh, it was Alex, right? So looking at the whole session through the eyes of the child, we're not actually doing that.
Yeah.
We're looking at the session through our eyes. Do you think this therapist is personally charming? If you had to think that long, probably not.
Yeah, but I guess I mean, I know that I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to defend, like, I know that I'm wrong, but I guess what had happened was I was thinking, like, well, she's responding to what the child wants to do, and she's going along with everything, and she's keeping it a continuous social situation rather than being like, let's play house, okay, or like, no, let's just, I don't know. So she was just,
she was nice. It's not like she's not nice.
Yeah.
So you could be nice and not charming.
Yeah.
Can you be charming and not nice?
Have you met those kids?
What
the charming kids that aren't nice? You know what I'm talking about.
What, your patient last year?
Yeah. No, she was neither. But like those kids that are charming while they talk about how they hurt animals.
Oh. Okay.
Those are the most things.
So charming and not nice, and you can also be nice and not charming.
Yes.
Okay. And where was this therapist? Nice but not charming.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
All right, so then we're in agreement that it should be the most of the people on this page should have bumped it down into the more uncharacteristic piles. Okay? All right. Should we do one more?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is an interesting clinical person. Really, guys? We just said she was bland.
57.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Is an interesting, colorful person.
Right.
So I guess we should really think about how these two items differ. And maybe you can make a note, Julia, about this. So,
that's all me. That was my fault.
88 versus 57.
And everyone else is too. I don't know why I put her as colorful. I do not think that she is.
Okay.
So that was all me. I apologize.
Don't apologize.
It's cool.
Hey, you're the only one in this entire room who's never done Q sorting before. So.
That's true.
So think of it that way. So how do we distinguish these two items? Personally charming versus interesting and colorful.
You have a lot of interests without being charming.
I think charming has more of like a relational feel to it, like how she interacts with the child. Does that make sense?
Well, what about colorful? Can you be, see, you have to be able to think of someone who's colorful and not charming.
I can.
Okay,
like
tell
those,
me.
Like, okay, yeah, like my patient last year.
Okay, she was colorful.
She was colorful. She was definitely not.
She was not charming.
Yeah.
Yes.
She
so
was
can you tell? See, I know what you're talking about,
yeah.
But no one else does. So.
She was a very mean little girl. Very, very mean. But she was
look
interesting.
At my...
She said really interesting things. She was
like what?
Kind of like eclectic. Not eclectic. That's wrong word.
No.
But like what? I think there's something interesting that she said. Okay, so she wrote. She went to the whiteboard. And she was like, I'm not talking to you. And then she went to the whiteboard and she wrote, like, hi, my name is blah. She's 11. She goes, I am 14 years old and I have a boyfriend. No, she doesn't. We spend lots of time together and go on lots of dates. And I hate my sister and wish that she wasn't here. Okay, she was not charming, but that was colorful. Come on.
You make an excellent point.
That's a good example.
But how would that manifest in a therapist?
In a therapist? Well, I think the opposite of her is could be a colorful therapist, someone that makes interesting interpretations. Someone who's interested. No, I'm kidding. But someone who makes interesting interpretations, well thought out interpretations.
So that would make them colorful.
I think that could make them more colorful.
Okay, but they wouldn't have to be charming then.
They could be a bitch in communicating, you know, like be like, well, I think it's this, blah, 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 you're like this one.
It's very interesting, but it's not delivered in a very charming way. Yeah. That's like Otto Kernberg.
Yeah. Or Ellis. Not that we like Ellis because he's CBT, but Ellis. You like Ellis? He freaks me out.
I saw him live. I took a class. I took one of my child psychopathology classes to see him. Live. He used to have Friday evening.
He worked with kids like that?
No, these were adults.
Oh.
Adults. And he would curse and he was out of control.
Right?
It was fun. It was very colorful.
Not charming.
And not charming at all. That, yes. So thank you. You helped me with that Ellis comment. You helped me with that. So, but you could be charming and then not be very colorful, not have much interesting to say. So maybe you can make that distinction in the code book. All right.
Good work, team.
So, I hope that this next video propels us into further reliability. Oh, you can keep this. Taylor can do this.
This is still practice.
That's all the caregiver introduced.
I have them all. You can delete. You can delete.
Oh, this could be. Okay, great.
I'm recirculating.
You're recirculating. Great. Do I need something? Nope.
So, Julie, you'll send out a new revised copy of the code book. Bye bye. Thank you, Taylor.
Dr. Goodman.
Yes.
For paper two for class.
Yes.
I forget the wording. Was it social issue or social problem?
Contemporary social issue.
Okay. Can I do.
But it can be a problem.
Okay. But what I wanted wasn't a problem, which is what I. But can I do transgender? Just like the transgender.
Absolutely.
And can I use a. I did forever. Could I do Jung?
Sure, if you want. Yeah. If you feel confident that you know that.
I kind of had buyer's remorse after I asked for Freud last time. Mm-hmm.
Did you like
remind her?
I mean,
well, I'll see.
I don't know a whole lot about Jung's developmental theory, so there might be an advantage to you. I don't know.
We'll see.
You could say whatever you want, and I wouldn't know.
Have you looked at the papers yet?
I've only graded two of them so far.
Yeah, I imagine it takes a while.
Yeah, and also just I was dealing with a technological problem.
I was going to ask you earlier, and then you said, well, there's no way.
Yeah, I had planned on grading.